Good morning. In the last few weeks, we have been dealing with behavioral issues. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke specifically to the younger people about where to set the bar where moral behavior is concerned. And then last week, we dealt with an audience that maybe was a step older. We talked about the idea of having it up to here. That tends to be more of a middle-aged kind of an idea. Today we're going to take another step up. We're going to talk to people who are even older than middle-aged. Now I know you understand the concept of a bucket list. The bucket list comes from the expression, kick the bucket. Now, that is a very poetic way of saying you're going to die if you're going to kick the bucket. And we are not sure where that expression originated. Some people think it comes from the way they used to slaughter hogs. Some people think it comes from how one might hang himself. I'm personally guessing that it has to do with somebody milking a cow and the cow kicking the bucket and all the milk spilling out. That's the most genteel one, so that's the one that we are going to go with. Now, whatever you think about the idea of kicking the bucket, it's a euphemism for the idea you're going to die. And making the bucket list means that there are things that you want to do before you kick the bucket. And so you have your list made, and you're trying to cross things off of that list. Now, in spite of what you see on the screen, if I only live once, I only need one bucket list. In spite of that, I can sort of imagine that a person might have two bucket lists. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 34, Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage." Jesus kind of takes existence and breaks it into two separate ages. There is this age and that age, which is the age to come. There is this age, this life, and where we marry, we have a family, we live in this world. And then there is the time of the resurrection, that age. Now, it is possible that a person might have two bucket lists. He might say within himself, well, before I exit this world, there are some things that I really want to accomplish. I want to see certain things happen in my family. I want to be married, want to have kids. I want to be a success in this world. I want to be able to say that my business got off the ground or I achieved a certain financial level. Or I might say, you know what, before I die, I really want to travel. Do you have a place that you really want to see? I really, really want to see Iceland. And I really, really want to see Greenland. And I really, really want to see New Zealand. These are the places that I would really like to see. And then there are things in this world that I would really truly like to experience before I die. But these are bucket list things concerning things in this age, this world. There is this age and then there is the age to come. Now, if somebody's smart, this is the one he concentrates on. He says within himself, you know what? This world is going to pass. This age is going to pass away. Whether or not I truly experience all I have on that first list, not that important. That age is the one to focus on. Doing the things that get me ready for eternal life. Bearing fruit for the Lord to prepare for this age that is to come. So I could see where a person in his mind might have two bucket lists. But I think most of us grasp the inherent danger in this. If we have this bucket list and form the habit of thinking these things are really, really, really important. It is really important to be successful, to travel, to have the family, to experience all the things that I want to experience before I check out of this world or before I kick the bucket. If we get to thinking these things are really, truly important, what we end up doing is kind of forgetting about this one. Because actually, this is where we live. We haven't gotten there yet. So it's easy for that first bucket list to kind of grab our attention. As Jesus says in Mark 4 and verse 19, he talks about the seed among thorns. It's like having the cares and the riches of this world. The things of this life choke us out. In Mark 4 and verse 19, what he's really talking about there is our bucket list. The things that we think are important to attain in this world. Paul says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. If we spend too much time looking at things which are seen, we can forget about the things which are not seen and preparing for the age which is to come. If I am focused on this side of the screen, that is a pretty pitiful bucket list. That is a weak thing to have dominating my heart. I know that I must live in this world, and I actually enjoy living in this world. But life and existence being what it is, I can really only afford to have one bucket list. That age, the one on this side, this is the thing that has to dominate my thinking. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter 1, Peter will show us how to write a good bucket list. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read something to you. Do you realize that Peter knew from an early age he was going to live to be an old man? In John 21 and verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, and this is before Jesus ever ascended into heaven. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you're going to grow old, Peter. You will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Peter was a young man when that was spoken to him. Jesus says you're going to grow old and you're going to die. When you die, you're going to be someplace where you really don't want to be. In other words, Peter, you're going to live to be an old man and then you're going to die hard. Peter spent his life knowing how this was going to play out. Now, when we get to 2 Peter chapter 1, he's come to the end. He's had his life. He has grown old, and he is going to make his exit. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 13, Peter says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. He's had his life of service. He has grown old. He has been told the kind of death by which he will glorify God, and it's revealed to him that it's here. The laying aside of your earthly dwelling or your earthly tabernacle is imminent. Laying aside the earthly dwelling. Does that sound better than kick the bucket? That's the nice way to put it. But that is what's going to happen to Peter. He is going to pass away. He knows he's about to die. He knows he's going to depart. He knows it's going to be hard, but he does not seem all that panicked about it. Does he have a bucket list? Is there something that he really wants to accomplish? Does he say, you know what? I am an old fisherman, and I never got to fish the Danube. I want to go up and I want to fish the Danube River. Or you know what? I would really like to go up to, you know, I like to go up to Ararat and see if I could find the ark. Didn't say that either. Temple at Karnak, the pyramids. He did not say, you know what? I only have a little while left and I think I'm going to go where the grandkids are. If he did any of that, he certainly didn't do enough of it to get in the way of that or to cloud his thinking in any way. His bucket list is right there in verse 15. He says, "And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." I am going to make certain that after I'm gone, you can remember the things that I taught. I have one more letter to write. And that's my bucket list. His bucket list. 2 Peter. You know, that's a pretty short list. He does not say, oh, woe is me, my time is running out, and all these things I've never experienced. Doesn't say that. He says, I've got a letter to write. And we notice that what he is talking about here is very spiritual in nature. In verse 12, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. This list is about reminding them of the truth that they had received. And this list is about other people. The thing that he is interested in is not about him. It's about those that he is leaving behind. And it's about permanence. It's about grounding them. I want to make certain that any time after I'm gone, you can remember these things that I taught you. That's what he has in mind. This is what he has to do before he goes. And these things are not going to be crowded out by a lot of silliness that pertains to this world. For you old people out there, what do you need to do before you go? Let me back this up a little. For those who are older, do we still have the tendency to focus on the wrong side of the screen? If you've marked 2 Peter, please turn to Luke chapter 12. Occasionally I read this parable and I usually don't elaborate on it too much because it's a little bit scary. It reminds me a lot of me and a lot of people that I know. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, "And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Why is this parable here? Because so many of us are like the rich fool. We come up with a bucket list that looks a lot like his bucket list. Here's what I am going to do. It is all about this age. And we know better. We've read this parable before, and yet we still behave in this way. We still tend to focus on this age, and somebody says, why would we do that? Maybe it's because we know about this age. We're familiar with this age. We know how to get things done in this age. It's so much easier working in this particular area than working on that side of the screen. Because, boy, we have a lot of experience. When you're older people, I'm not going to try to get myself in trouble with the younger people, but we know a lot more than you do. And that can't even be debated. We know how to eat. We know how to travel. We know how to get a house built. We know how to go about buying a house. We know where all the goodies are hidden. That's a fact. Young people think you know where all the goodies are hidden. You don't know where the goodies are hidden. The old guys know where all the goodies are hidden. And yet all these things I'm talking about are things over here. We know that stuff. It's all this age. Now we stop and we think, and maybe we compare this to Peter's list. We start making our bucket list, and Peter's bucket list was really short. Sometimes our bucket list is just not all that short. There's no end to the food that I have not eaten yet. There's no end to the places that I have not traveled to. There's no end to the goodies that I have not owned. Sometimes our list is not short. Sometimes our list is not spiritual. It's not about others. It's about me having a good time. And it is not permanent. Because when I focus on this side, it cannot be permanent. If you're older, shift your attention. Shift it from this side to this side. Getting ready for the age which is to come. Now, if you are older, there are some things that should just be givens, just absolutely accepted as a matter of course. For instance, if you're an older person and you have not obeyed the gospel, you need to obey the gospel of Christ. I'm reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Going to read verses 6 through 9. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul deals with the second coming of Christ from the standpoint of the effect that it has on the wicked, on those who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. Any congregation where I've ever worked, there's always been a particular type of person, at least an example or two in each place. There will be a person, usually married to someone who is a member of the congregation, who comes with them every week, sits through the sermons, knows that they need to obey the gospel of Christ, and never does. And they may go for 20, 30, or 40 years, heard it proclaimed week after week after week, and yet never respond. Brethren, it does not matter if you're 40, or 50, or 60, or 70, or 80 years old. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you are simply not ready to go. Now, it does not matter if I never see New Zealand. But it does matter whether or not I obey the gospel. And I don't get a pass for being older. I should obey the gospel. And I should grow to maturity. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Someday I will study the Bible. Someday I will become zealous. Someday I will teach somebody. Someday I will be a worker. I will bear fruit. Someday I will get with the program and become the type that the Lord wanted me to be. Brethren, it does not matter if I never make it to Iceland. It does matter whether or not I mature. And I do not get a pass for being older. And I do not get to say within myself, oh, I'm old, I must be mature. It does not work that way. These things should be givens. I should obey the gospel. I should grow to maturity. If I'm going to talk about a bucket list, things I have to do to get ready, that's got to be there. And then lastly, I need to write that letter. If I'm old, I need to write that letter. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Peter is thinking of the ones that he is leaving behind. Old person, who are you leaving behind? Now, maybe we think about our spouse. My wife wants me to live at least one day longer than she does. I think I might want to see it go the other direction. We don't get to choose. On this, we have no power in the day of death. Realistically, when we are talking spouses, whoever goes first, it's not going to be long before the other catches up. So maybe that's not that big an issue. But when we start talking kids and grandkids, that is why leaving this world can sting a little bit, because they just might accidentally need me for something. And then there are my friends and my brethren, the ones to whom I am especially close. Before I go, there are things that I just need to say to them. Things I just have to get across. Now, when I speak to them, it can be short. 2 Peter is not a long book. You can read it in just a few minutes. I don't have to write them a novel. I don't have to write them an encyclopedia. But it does need to be something spiritual. You stop and think about the advice we give our kids. Before I leave this world, my kids have to know that when I'm gone, don't buy government bonds. Don't sell the real estate. Tell the kids they've got to finish school no matter what happens. We give them advice on some of the most mundane, ridiculous things. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. Before you go, you need to write them a letter about the truth remember Jesus Christ. You need to write them a letter about the principles that you hold dear. And I'll give you an example of that. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When I say write them a letter about principles you hold dear, I mean I'm talking about things like Bible authority, the way God is to be worshipped, the things that you see taught in the New Testament. And the reason I say that, because I know, brethren, looking out over the landscape, some of those ideas are slipping away. And if they are not communicated, some of these ideas are going to vanish away. You need to tell them something about the danger that is out there. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. There is a realm of teaching that we have to stay within. And I need to communicate that to them, and I need to communicate the kind of person that they need to be. They need to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. But that letter has to be spiritual. And when I write that letter, it's about others. It's not just to alleviate my own failure or my own guilt, but it's because I sincerely care what happens to them. And I want to see a permanent impact. When I'm gone, I want them to remember. Now, I said write a letter. Honestly, it does not have to be a letter. But we need to think in these terms. I know I'm going, and before I go, I want to communicate to you what I held dear. This is the bucket list. To prepare for the age to come. Why should I think about it now? It's painful for me to think about it now. You know, it's easy for you, Scott. You just got out of college. I might have fudged a little on that. We think about it now. Because we've been told. We have been told sobering facts. Sometimes when we get to looking at the church, we get to fretting about congregations. We say, oh, we look at congregations across the country, and we've got a lot of older people within the congregations, like older people don't count, and that they're a huge problem. Brethren, that's not just the church. That's our whole society. Do you realize that the over 65 segment of the population stands at 21%? That is more than 1 in 5, rapidly approaching 1 in 4 people in our society will be over 65. And the funny thing about that age group, 65 and older, that group is growing 3 times faster than the rest of the population. You're going to look up and you're going to see across the board a bunch of old people out there. And that's okay. So what do we know about old people? In Psalm 90 and verse 10, the days of our years are 70. You've got 70 years. If by reason of strength 80, yet is there strength but labor and sorrow, and we soon fly away. Now, honestly, 80 is becoming the magic number. with medicine and nutrition and all this, more and more. 80 is the number. A lot of strong people. And honestly, brethren, when you look around here for the last year or two, all the funerals that we have seen, what was the age of all the people who are passing away? That's the number. As we approach 80, it is labor and sorrow, and we soon fly away. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We have been told. Peter was told while he was young, you're going to grow old and you're going to die hard. And yet at his death, it did not seem to bother him. Now, with many of us, honestly, we have had that long life. We've gotten our years in. We haven't been cheated out of anything. We have known all along that we were going to die. We have been told that we are going to die. Now let's be like Peter and act like we're not going to let it bother us all that much. We have a percentage of people here who are arriving at 70. We know what is coming. What are we going to do? What's on your bucket list? We're going to write a letter, like Peter, to the loved ones with whom we have a relationship. Sometimes with our loved ones, the relationship isn't all that wonderful. But to our loved ones with whom we have the relationship, we are going to communicate. I am going, and it's okay. And these were the things that I held dear, and this is what I want you to remember. That's the bucket list. There is this age and the age to come. We focus on the age to come, and we work at preparing for it. You are not ready for the age to come unless you've obeyed the gospel of Christ. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. God speaks through Jesus. Jesus is the voice of authority. He is the one who says where I am going to end up in that age. And he commands. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who believeth not will be condemned. We preach Jesus as Lord, raised from the dead, the one to whom we respond in obedience to the gospel. To respond to him, we believe that God raised him from the dead. We believe it enough to turn from our sins, confess our faith, and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. If you haven't done that, you're not ready. If you desire to be ready, would you come forward while we stand and sing?